Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and moment. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the life. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for everything, everything that you're doing in our life. We love you, and we ask you, Lord, to continue blessing us through your scripture. Please, be you speaking to the church. Build us, edify us the way that you want us to be. And continue getting more that that relationship that you want with us and with you all together, and also here with us as members of the body of Christ, the church. We declare your glory over that. Please, God, speak to the church. Be you. Please remove me out of the picture. Be you speaking. Be you talking, not me. We're just going to share your scripture. And please make that scripture be in our spirit, in our soul, and continue blessing us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to continue talking about the sin and consequences, the series that we are talking. Today we're going to share our third message related to that. And just like a refresh of the scripture, Genesis 3:22, it says, "And the Lord God says, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil." And also the scripture in James 4:17 says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Amen. Today, it's going to be also a great blessing talking about this specific topic. For me, it was a little bit challenge because in our mind, in our understanding, it's always difficult to understand some things in the scripture that we don't understand. Why? Because we are humans, and we are living in this earth, and we are shaped and have paradigms in our head created based on the earth. And sometimes it's really difficult to understand God's mind with things that we're saying, it doesn't make sense, because we understand the love this way, we understand the hate this way, we understand this relationship this way, but maybe for God it's a little bit different. And that's the difficulty that we are facing every single day. This week, I have some training that I had to take in my work, and maybe some of you guys know about this training, and it's about risk management. Where is Chris? Oh, yeah. Risk management. So in the risk management, you have to learn and understand risk that is happening in the specific project that you're doing in your job. And those risks, you have to identify it, you have to evaluate it, you have to assess it, you have to use some systems that the company normally do or use to then fix those risks, and that way at the end, you will not have some consequences, or you're trying to avoid to have some consequences based on that project or system that you are trying to implement in the company or in your job. The same concept, it can be used for you, for your life as a Christian, because we are facing risk. We are facing risk every day. And since the beginning, we can see that God is presenting us different situations or different examples in the Bible, in the scripture, different persons or people, anything. And all of them is showing you some things to get you to a specific level, to get you to a specific location, to get you to this world and do His will for you, so that way you can be in compliance of the purpose of God in your life. But in between there, we have to face risk. And those risks, depending on the approach that we're going to take of those risks, we can win the battle or we can lose the battle. And today, I'd like to present to you guys this specific topic about undeserved curse. I know, some open eyes, some like, whoa. Because in the Bible, we will learn a little bit of that. And again, it was a challenge for me when I was reading this. And when we go through this scripture, I truly believe it's going to be a challenge for every one of us. Okay, so let's start. on the challenges and risk that we are facing, we can talk about different people. One of them that I'd like to present to you guys today is Job. For sure. Why not, right? Job. Thank you, Job. So Job, over there, bless you. In that specific scripture, we will learn about that. And let's go over there to Job number chapter 1. Let's go to Job. It's challenge and it's really difficult to understand these things, right? Let's go to verse number 4. Let's go 5. When a period of feasting, right, had run its course, Job will make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he will sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? What about if we say, have you considered my servant John? My servant Rudy? Ouch. My servant Chris? How will you take that one?" It's difficult, right? The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Now, in order for Job to shun evil, that means he knows good and evil, correct? Okay. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well. Then everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." So, for me, again, it's difficult, right? Because we are human beings, we love God, God is love. And then when you read this scripture, you're kind of like, wow, we're going to face this situation now. But everything inside of that, it has to have a reason. It has to have a cause. And that's the first point that I want to share with you guys today, is cause. Because when you read the scripture, Genesis, Eden, and you see Adam, right? And you see the experience and everything. God provided to him something. God gave him the Eden, the garden. And then he said, take care of it. One of those two things. Take care of that. Which, when you go to the original Hebrew of that scripture, it means protected, cover it. This is what I'm giving to you. This is your responsibility. Protect what I'm giving to you. Which over there, you will be delight. That's the meaning of Eden. It means delightful life. It means you are feeling so good over there. You have everything that you need. You're happy. But then he gave you something. He said, the only thing that you cannot do here is this. You know the story. Do not eat from this tree. That's the only thing. So now, you have a boundary. You set a boundary. God set a boundary around you and say, this is your cost. You will not have a boundary if you don't have a cost. The cost it is that you have a reason of living, a reason of being in relationship with God. That's your reason. That's the cost. And now establish it a boundaries. Now, if you are getting outside of those boundaries because you're breaking that limits that God is giving to you, then you're going to get to the consequences. What is a cause? That is wish considered as the foundation or origin of something, motive or reason of acting. When you go to the original word, it means free of charge, without reason. Cause. Why? Let's go to the scripture. Job again, we're going to chapter 2. And now, let's go to verse 5. Let me start from 3. Sorry, Jaili. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? This is the second time. Have you considered my servant John? Rudy, Chris, Jeanette, Susan, Sue, everyone. There is no one on earth like him or her. He or her is blameless and upright, a man or woman who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Without any cause. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out, and you guys know the story. But the point out here, it is when it says, to ruin him without any reason, without any cause. I didn't do anything. Why am I receiving this? Some people, when they read the scripture, they might say that sometimes it's contradictory, but it's not. Always God has something. So I want to share with you guys Proverbs 26, verse 2. And this is the reasoning of the main topic of today. Proverbs 26, 2. Like a Floridian sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. When you read it in the ESV version, it says, like a sparrow in its fleeting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is costless does not alight. So in other words, when you see a bird flying, but it's not sitting in any tree or any place, it's just flying. It doesn't have anywhere to sit in. The same thing is going to be with the curse. It needs to have a cause. It needs to have a reason. It needs to have something in order to become a curse in your life. Now, what I'm saying is that when you go back and see the story from Job, Satan came over there, and God present that to him. God, have you considered or have you not considered? Come on, man, don't do that to me. I don't want to go through that. But God always have a reason. He always have a cause. Hallelujah. For you and me here on the earth, because we're living on the flesh, it's painful. It's difficult to manage. It's difficult to understand, to comprehend that. But he always has something. He always has something. That's why when we continue reading Job 2, when his wife came and he said, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? What are you doing? Curse your God." Right? Flesh. Earth. That's what we're expecting when we are living over here. But when we are not from here, when we are really from heaven, when we understand why we are here and that we represent God over here, then you can see, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. So in other words, do we supposed to worship God, praise God all the time, anyway we're going through those situations? Yes. The reasoning of that, sometimes we don't know and we don't understand it. But he knows. He understands it. At the end, maybe we will understand. That's the cause. That's the difficulty of this. That's the difficulty of understanding those reasoning in our life. But when we receive that blessing from God and we understand the boundaries that we are putting, we understand the cause. Because the boundaries creates the causes in our life. But now when we break in those boundaries, it will create those consequences. And that's the second point that I want to share with you guys today, is the consequences. Consequences, what is that? Fact or event that follows or results from another one, another event, another fact. In order to understand this word, it's coming from two words, right? In the Latin, which is consequi. Consequi means together, follow. Follow together, in other words. So something that is coming after something else that you decide to make or decisions that you make. That's the consequences. We are receiving that out of that, breaking our boundaries because we already understood what is the cause. What is the cause? Having relationship with God. Living from Him. Today, the causes that you and I have is based on Jesus Christ because He died for you and for me. And His cause that He put for you and for me, it is the two simple ones that we have always been shared with every day that is here. Love your God. Love your neighbor. That's it. That's the cause. You have the cause. Now you have your boundaries. Do not get out of there. Because then if we get out of there, we're going to receive the consequences. What is the consequences? We already learned about that. Revelations. Lake of fire. Consequences. Because everything will be written over there in the books. So today, what God wants us to learn and continue understanding, it is that the curses that we might be think that we have in our life, if it's not anything expressed or being pronounced, if I can say it that way, from God, it's nothing. Because God is the one that is deciding everything in our life, not anyone else. If you think or receive something from someone else on the earth that says, "Oh, I condemn you," or "I curse you because of this and that," if he don't say it, that's nothing. If he don't say that, that's nothing. And let me share you that in the scripture. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel. Let me go there. Ezekiel 14. please, when you have an opportunity from your house, read everything. But I'm not going to read everything. I'm just going to read verse 21 and 22 and 23. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. How much worse will it be when I send against Jerusalem my four dreadful judgments? Who's talking? Sword, and famine, and wild beast, and plague. That's the four dreadful judgments that he was sending specific to this story, because the Israelites were condemned by the idolatry that they let get into their hearts. To kill its men and their animals. That's a purpose. Yet, there will be some survivors, sons and daughters, who will be brought out of it. They will come to you, and when you see their conduct and their actions, you will be consoled regarding the disaster I have brought on Jerusalem. Every disaster I have brought on it, you will be consoled when you see their conduct and their actions, for you will know that I have done nothing in it without. There's a reason. There's a cause that God is providing, declares the sovereign Lord. So God always, when he sends something or he decides something or he proclaims something, it should have a cause. It should have a reason. Don't please think that whatever you're going through or what I'm also going through is without any reason. We might be do not understand it yet. We might be not comprehend it yet. But there's a purpose of God in our life. Because maybe it's Satan, or maybe it's nothing, it's nobody. But if he have a purpose or will in your life or declare something, we're just going by that. Anyway, maybe we don't understand it right now here on the earth, and it's difficult for us to understand it. We set those boundaries. We have it already. Just don't go out of that. So the curse will never come out, come without a cause. Never. Therefore, if the heart knows that a curse is unjust, it can rest in the assurance that it will do it no harm. Since the Creator and Lord of history is the source of blessing and cursing through human being, the proverb infers that underserved, inappropriate cursing is ineffective because the sovereign Lord does not endorse it. We can learn more about this also with the story of, help me, Balaam, B-A-L-A-A-M, Balaam, Balaam. You guys know the story, right? Balak and Balaam. Thank you. So we know the story. The same concept. What he wants? He wants a condemnation over the Israelites. The king of that moment, Balak, he wants a condemnation. And he's asking for that person over there in that time, Balaam, he was over there. And he was asking, can you condemn the Israelites? They just get out of Egypt. And I see all these people over here. And man, I think they're going to destroy our population over here, our country. They're going to destroy everything. So condemn. He tried four times. Asking this person to do that. And what he say? Let's go to Jeanette. Mention it. You say it for me. Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy, whatever. Sorry. 23:4. 23:4. It says, for they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. And they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram Naharim to pronounce a curse on you. However, the Lord your God will not listen to Balaam, but turn the curse into blessing for you. Because the Lord your God loves you. Come on, that's a praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not just like, it's also love. So he loved you. He loved me. And he's going to turn everything for your good. He's going to turn that. And that's why we also receive the example of David. When you read 2 Samuel 16:7, it says, as he cursed, she may say, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. This is talking to David, the king, for that time. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord have given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. That didn't happen. But he professed a condemnation over David, because that was not the purpose of God in the life of David. Anyone can say anything about you and me, or about anything in your life, or about anything, if they want, whatever. But if he don't say it, they're just going to the ground. They don't have purpose. They don't have cause. They don't have reason. And that's what Proverbs 26:2 says. If that curse, it doesn't have any reason from him, any plans from him, it's nothing. Now the difficulty over there, it is that if he have a reason from him, ouch, then we have to hold it. We have to like, okay, let's do it. Let's go through. But at the end, he will turn that anyway to a blessing, because he loves us. That's why today, as of today, we can read Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you. It sounds hard because we love Jesus Christ, but he became a curse for you and me. Why you and I were supposed to receive. And because of that, now we are blessed. And because of that, now we are saved. Revelation 22:3 says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. That's what we're looking for, that there's not going to be any more curse. We, you and me, right now, believing in Jesus Christ, believing in what he did for us, that curse is going away. We don't have anything else in our life. Praise God for that one. And I want to declare this word over you guys, Isaiah 54:17, and I received it also. There's no weapon forged against you that it will prevail. Hallelujah. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. For his glory. Praise God. The last one. And that's it. It's curse. What is a curse? We went through all the scripture, but I want to just close with this curse. It's an expression through which harm is wished upon a person or a group of individuals. The terminology over here is to injury, insult that person, or also whatever it is. Someone who curses is hoping that something bad will happen to someone else. It is usually a saying that is made in a moment of anger or displeasure with our person, expressing the curse, doing anything to make the evil actually happen. All this scripture, all this learning is just to understand and learn that there's no curse in our life that it will harm you or me or us or anyone else if it doesn't have any reason or purpose of God in His plans. That's it. Simple. Once again, but like Job, if we receive something without any reason, we will manage it. We will go through because He say it, because He declares that, not anyone else. If anyone says anything else, it doesn't have any reason. It doesn't have any cause. It doesn't have any purpose. So it's like nothing right now. And that's the will of God. Now, going back to the beginning, you and I will learn the risk. We know the risk. We know what is our targets and goals and our objectives. What? Living in heaven, eternal life with Him. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. We know those things. You set your boundaries. Don't go out of there. Protect what God is giving you to not get out of those boundaries. And you will see His glory. But if we turn these comment in Proverbs 26:2, we will come to the conclusion that in the same way that a curse without a cause is ineffective, a curse with a cause is effective. And there are abundant examples in the Bible like we just expressed with David, Balaam. We can see different other stories, but today I just want to share with you guys those. And when God is the subject, He's the one pronouncing that, then the curse is effective. Since God is not a man to be moved by deviant passions, His curses are always based on justice, with the curse being the result of disobedience to His command. That is, there can be no true well-being, which is blessing. If there's disobedience involved, then, you know, the consequences. But beyond the earthly and temporal curses that we see in our life, there is another deeper and more fearful curse, which is the lake of fire. We know that. Let's just believe in Jesus Christ. And whatever it flows from that death of Jesus Christ will help you and help me to continue removing those risks in our life. We know. We know better. So praise God for that. I was telling Jeanette, and that's a confirmation of what Chris was saying. When in Philippians, let me go there. Philippians 4:19, right? Yeah. That was yesterday, right? Philippians 4:19. Oh, I don't have it there, Jaili, sorry. I know, don't get mad with me. They get mad with me. Hallelujah. 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Will meet all your needs. What is your needs? Because it's according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. But what is your needs? I was sharing with Jeanette because sometimes our needs are maybe not aligned with his needs. And I told Jeanette, we have to just learn and understand more what is his needs, so that way my needs can be aligned with his needs, so that way I will receive everything according to his riches, glorious riches in Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we think, oh, I need this, I need that, and I need the other thing, and I need that, but that's you, and that's fine. That's your desire. That's what you want. But it's really what he really needs. Do you think Job wants his family and he losing everything? No. What he was doing, he was going and present offering to God in replacement of his kids, right? His children is supposed to do that, not him. Yes or no? Just in case, perhaps they maybe curse God. Let me just present this offering. Well, that's not your responsibility. And my family, you know, I'm always tell them, salvation is individual. I love them. I love Jeanette. I love my kids. But it's individual. Fortunately, right? I wish I can just say, hey, take a ride with me. Hold my leg. Right? It's not the case, unfortunately. And we can go back to Ezekiel 14. When he was saying that, let me share with you guys. Don't move. Don't move. 14. I'm going to read from 19. This is the last one. The last curse. Or if I send a plague into the land and pour out my wrath on it through bloodshed, killing its people and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel, and who? Job. Were in it, they could save neither son nor daughter. They will save only themselves by their righteousness. What we can do? Who speak over here? It was the sovereign Lord, not me. Sorry. I know. I know it's tough. It's difficult. Again, individual. Say salvation. We have it over there. Just take it. Take the opportunity. It's there. Please don't let it go. Going back, Job, present that to God. Just in case. And now he lose everything. Still have his wife. Praise God for the wife, right? Still over there. Hallelujah. But even he was sick going through that situation. And according to scripture, he never cursed God or he never say anything against God. He never sinned because he knows the good and evil. And he knows the cost. He knows his boundaries. And he keep it. So what happened at the end? You can go and read it. It says the Bible that when he prayed for his friends, everything went back. Duplicate. I don't know what you're taking from here, but pray. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family members. It's individual. Presenting offering in salvation or in restitution or doing anything is individual. Jesus Christ died for everyone, individual. One of the things that I learned over there in that story is that he just prayed for his friend. He didn't present offering for his friend. He prayed for them. And according to scripture, it says that after that, release, heal, everything duplicate, family again. His will, his glory, all the time. And that will prevail in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the understanding of the causes, the consequences, the boundaries, and the undeserved curse. Thank you, because we know and understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, in replacement of us, and he became a cursed to then be a blessing in our life. Thank you for that. Thank you for that mercy, because I understand that we do not deserve that. But thank you for the opportunity. We praise you. We worship you. Keep helping us to continue living a life that is grateful, a life that is supposed to be enjoyable with you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help us to continue giving the strength to manage all the problems, situations, challenges, risks that we are going through in our life, and help us to be more like Jesus Christ. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you all the time in the name of Jesus Christ.